Please.
Marilyn Olga Hansen Creamy. I was born June 16th, 1934 in Marquette, Kronberg, Nebraska. Kronberg was a little village, and in this village was the church that sat up on the hill surrounded by this cemetery and with a gym hall. There was a grocery store and a blacksmith shop in this little village and several homes. And we lived on several farms, but our last farm was a mile north of the church and a quarter east, and we could hear the church bell every Sunday morning very plain and when it rang. The church was really the center of our social life, and we'd always have, you know, different meetings, and the children would play, and the parents, you know, would listen to the lectures and all. I didn't realize it at the time, but a very special place, because we had such a good time there. We would sing a lot, and we sang Out of the World of Songbook, which has so many wonderful songs in it. We would folk dance. After every Silver Wedding celebration or Junior or Luther League celebrations, you know, meetings, we'd always dance. It was just a way of life, and we took so many of those things for granted. We had Danish days that were started by a pastor. Christenza Jespersen and her husband Harris Jespersen came when I was about 12 or 13. They came to our congregation, and she started the Danish days, which really brought the congregation together. I mean, the women, you know, with the food and crafts, they made a lot of wooden things, and people from all over came for these Danish days. And we had a portable dance floor. It was wooden, and it would, when my mother told me about when they were younger, it would go from farm to farm. Like if when my parents got married in 1932, they took it to my grandfather's farm, where we eventually lived north of the church. And everybody came, and they had a dance for my parents. My parents, Edna Rasmussen and August Hansen, met at a young people's convention in Brush, Colorado. It was part of the district, where there were several churches in each district, and they met in Brush, Colorado, and that's where my mother was from. She was from Colorado. And my dad would go back and work in the sugar beet fields, and eventually they got married. My mother had been a teacher for 5 years, and she was the youngest of a large Danish family. My grandparents, Fred and Christine Rasmussen, came from Denmark and lived in Brush, Colorado.
Would you know where in Denmark they have been living?
You know, I do have that at home. I do have that at home. I could give that to you. But my father's parents, I know, came from near Magdalen by Odense. Mm-hmm. And they were my grandparents, Thorvald and Olga Jensen Hansen, came from that area, because I visited that in Denmark. Mm-hmm. But growing up, we always, of course, celebrated Christmas in the tradition of the Danish tradition of dancing around the Christmas tree, the almond and the rice pudding. And I have carried that out in my own family. I married my husband, Dick Creamy, in June of 1954, and we had 4 children. Kathy is 53, and Kim is 51. Carrie is 49, and Craig is 48. And we always did the dancing around the tree, and we still do that. We have 12 grandchildren, and they all are still doing that with us. We put the almond in the mashed potatoes, though, now, and we always have a little prize, you know, for that, and they always look forward to that.
The rice pudding is not...
It's not rice pudding anymore. No. It's the mashed potatoes. No. It's the mashed potatoes we put it into. Yeah.
When you grew up as a little girl, did you speak English in your home?
We always spoke English. My dad and mother would speak Danish when they didn't want us to understand anything. So I did not grow up learning Danish at all. But I heard it, but I just didn't pick it up like I should have. But and I went to Dane school one summer, you know, when I was 6 years old.
Dane school?
Dane school.
Yeah?
At the church. Yeah, they had a summer session.
For some weeks, mm-hmm. they had yeah. different but, classes in
but
Danish.
But that was it. Then they didn't have it. Yeah, then they didn't have it anymore after
so
that.
That ended there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why you didn't go
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do it that anymore.
Well, what was your schooling like? Where did you go to school?
I went to Marquette High School, which is a very small school. I'm sorry to say there's no school in this little town of Marquette anymore, either grade school or high school. I attended country school when I was for about 5 years, you know, one-room country school. Mm-hmm. And then we went into Marquette when I was like seventh grade. And there were only eight in my graduating class, so you can see it was very small. And it's been closed now for quite a few years.
Then after high school?
After high school. When I was about 13, I came to Grandview College for junior camp. And, of course, I fell in love with Grandview College. I always dreamed of going to Grandview College. Two of my aunts had gone to Grandview and met their spouses and husbands. Mm-hmm. Some of the young people from our congregation, it was our Danish college, you know, and we came from all over. And so I came to Grandview and enjoyed it very much and met my husband, Dick Ramey, and got married.
You went there the first time as 13? You said?
Well, yeah, for a junior camp. They had a junior camp in the summertime for young people to come. And so I went 2 years. I went when I was 13 and 14, I think it was.
And then you came later?
Yeah, later. After I graduated, I came when I was 18 and to college.
What did you study?
I studied they called it a pre-professional degree, but it was a teaching degree, when we could teach on 2 years. And then I taught in West Des Moines for 2 years, and then we started our family. Mm-hmm. And then I substituted, you know, in between all of our children. And then about in 1973, I went as a library or associate and became a library associate. So then I was a librarian in the elementary schools for 25 years.
Okay. Your husband, was he of Danish background?
My husband was of Danish background. His father came from Denmark at 20 years old. He came from up north of Høring, Mudal.
It was
where he grew up. Mm-hmm. And when we went to Denmark, we saw his grandparents' gravestone. They were not, they were sitting, you know, to the side in front of the, kind of to the church. They were not kept anymore. Mm-hmm. But yes, his father came, and several of his uncles, they all immigrated. They were a large family, and they'd come one by one, you know, they'd sponsor one. But I think six of them about came, the Cramies came to the United States. Mm-hmm. And his father, but they never spoke Danish in the home at all. His mother was also Danish, and she was completely Danish, but they never spoke Danish in the home at all.
Was that a conscious choice of theirs?
It must have been, evidently, yes, because his father had quite an accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, his father had quite an accent.
But you wouldn't know why, exactly.
You know, I think it was because they wanted their children to speak English, and probably because their dad was quite young when he came, you know, and he did construction and with bridges and then later started his own business.
You've been at the Tyler folk meeting this summer.
Yes, yes, I was.
Yeah. How come you went there?
Because I just enjoy that fellowship, the atmosphere, the singing, being with other Danish people from around the country. It's just very refreshing, you know. And it's not just Danish things that we hear. It's topics of interest to everyone, you know. But it's a way to keep our Danish heritage alive, and I think thinking about, especially with the singing, the folk dancing, and just the fellowship, that is a lot what the Happy Danes are noted for. Living each day to its fullest, you know, living each day to its fullest.
So the things that you experience at the Tyler meeting, would you also have that in your daily life?
Yes, I do, because I belong to the Danish Sisterhood, and I was president for 3 years, and that part of that is to keep our Danish heritage alive, but also to be enriched by other friends who are of Danish descent or who have an interest in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And we do something Danish, you know, usually at each meeting. We also belong to the Brotherhood, you know, which is a fellowship gathering too. I'm not as active in that as I am the Sisterhood.
And you belong to the Lutheran Church?
Yes, Lutheran Memorial Church. Yes. Have for, since we were married in 54, belonged to that. And I was, you know, St. John's Lutheran in Kronborg before that.
Would you say that the members of this congregation are more than all of some kind of Danish background, or is it more mixed?
It's more mixed now, much more. It used to be that it was a lot the professors from the college, you know, but of course Grandview has changed so much. It's more of a city school now. Before, the young people came from all parts of the United States because they were affiliated with the Danish Synod, and the churches. But now it's not that. But I'm so proud of what Grandview has become. I mean, it really, I never thought it would be as large as it is now.
It seems to be thriving. Yeah,
it is thriving. It is. It's had good leadership and reaching out to the community and and of course, introducing all different kinds of sports, which brings young people.
Mm-hmm. Your children, you said you had 4
yes.
children. How do they, have any interest in your Danish traditions?
Yes, but not, I think maybe as they get older it will be more, but our daughters do. They enjoy, you know, the Danish traditions that we do at Christmas time and the singing. Two live here in Des Moines, 2 children live here in Des Moines, a son and a daughter, and 2 daughters in Minneapolis.
So, what have you any impression of their families continuing these,
you know,
things?
Not as much as I've thought they would, because the 2 children are not affiliated with this church, and we you know, we do some Danish things here. We do fast allowance, you know. We have fast allowance, and the children grew up with that, and I remember when they were little, they always looked so forward to fast allowance, and they'd always say, now, when are we going to have Halloween at church, you know, when they were younger, but we still have that tradition. But I don't know if they'll carry on the tradition of, you know, the Chris dancing around the tree, and we always have codfish with mustard gravy for our meal for Christmas.
You
always fix that. Mm-hmm.
For which day in Christmas?
Well, it's usually when we celebrate, because sometimes we cannot celebrate on Christmas Eve because they have in-laws and to go to. So we always, you know, have a day when they can all be there.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And that is when we do the codfish with mustard gravy.
Oh, I haven't heard that over here yet, that you would have the...
I don't know that got started. I tried to not do it because it's a job.
Yeah.
Oh, I fixed 10 pounds.
Wow.
At one time because it takes that much, and plus a ham because we have 12 grandchildren.
Yeah.
And now not 8 of them are boys, and you know, they eat a lot. So we fixed 20 pounds of potatoes, mashed potatoes.
And that's where you have the almond. Huh?
That's where I have the almond now.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
that's
good
where.
To hear.
And so I thought I'd get away with not having it, but my son-in-laws love that codfish. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And I get it at a
That's
store.
That's Christmas. To them it's Christmas.
Yeah, and to them it's their Christmas, yeah.
But for almost everyone they know, they wouldn't dream of that Christmas. The Danes, most of the Danes around and Tyra, they wouldn't have that tradition, wouldn't they?
I don't know. How I got it started, because we didn't have that at my home. We always had the roast goose, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't do that because that's you know. But I know some people still have the roast goose.
Yeah, you know, the cod and mustard is something that quite a lot of Danes have for New Year's Eve.
Oh,
actually. Uh-huh. But some for Christmas, I'm sure, also, during the Christmas days.
Well, I know when my father used to come down to visit, he'd say, Marilyn, I'll go buy the codfish if you'll make codfish and mustard
mm-hmm.
gravy.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've done that quite a few years.
Quite a different path. Would you consider yourself being a Dane?
Oh, yes. I mean...
No hesitation.
My heritage, you know... Yeah, I'm proud of my Danish heritage mm-hmm. very much, and I think as I get older, even more so. We've been to Denmark twice. I've always wanted to go, and we've gotten to go twice. And mm-hmm. I got to worship in the little church where my bestemor had been baptized and confirmed 3 years ago when we were there.
Okay. I asked this question. You are obviously an American citizen.
Yes.
So if I ask you, are you an American, you would probably say...
Yes.
Yeah, so...
But I'm... My heritage is Danish. Mm-hmm. And as I think as we get older...
So that's the way you sort of divide it into...
Yes, yeah. Not
citizenship
and
mm-hmm. heritage.
Heritage, right.
Yeah, because I had almost the same answer from almost all the people.
Yeah, I bet so too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Grundvig, would you... Have you any sort of, would you consider yourself being a Grundvigian?
You know, I didn't even hear about Grundvig until I was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear about him growing up. Even at college, I didn't hear much. But now it seems like it's more prevalent to talk about Grundvig. And we got to visit his church when we were in Denmark, mm-hmm. the Memorial Church. We also got to go to Botov,
yes.
And they opened up the church so I could go inside. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I've just gotten to really, you know, appreciate in all mm-hmm. of his songs. You know, if you open up the world mm-hmm. of song mm-hmm. or heritage in song, mm-hmm. you see so many of his songs, and they have mm-hmm. so much meaning to them about life and living.
Mm-hmm.
And living life to the fullest. It's just, there's so much of that in the songs. And they just, I use some of them for devotions because they say just how I feel, and they're very personal, you know, mm-hmm. for your life.
Well, that's a good way to answer, because you said that it's a kind of way of living. But,
yes, it is a way.
But if you begin to ask where did those ideas come from, you have the answer, well, Grundvig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I didn't realize that.
No?
I didn't realize that until I was older and became an adult. And it's been in the last 20 years or more that it really has become more visible or more
Maybe also being in contact with the other people.
Yes.
Isla, that will bring about this more conscious.
And in the even Grand View, I mean, has brought that more. And this new president brings that into it's a way of. Oh, I wish I could had that book here, but it's a way living life to its fullest. It's the whole body, mind and soul, you know. Mm-hmm. Your body, mind, and your soul.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've got around to quite a few good points.
Yeah. I don't know what else I can tell you. But I grew up with those. It was just a way of our life, and I hadn't, you know, didn't think a lot about it. You know how when you're a child, you just, and you don't appreciate it until you get older.
That's true.
You don't appreciate things until you
No,
you
because
get older.
That's just how the world is.
Right.
When you get older, you realize,
yeah,
my life was quite different from so many other people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you find there's such a, there's so much joy in the things that, and you, in the way you do things, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a joy of living. It really, you know, in that song.
Obviously, in Tyler, that there's a very special spirit.
Yes, it is.
Among all the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good community.
Yeah,
feeling.
I'm so glad you got to be part of that.
Yeah, well, that was very good.
Uh-huh.
But is that, do you find this, this spirit is also found in your congregation and where you, will that be found in your congregation, the same sort of down-to-earth?
I don't think so,
joy.
Like it used to be. Not like it used to be.
Well.
But out in Kronberg you'll find it, you know. Because they still have Abelskiver days, they still, you know. And I make Abelskiver for my family, you know, Christmas usually. I don't, should do it oftener, but when there's so many of them, it's
too much. Well, you have a big family, I can hear that you have quite a job.
Yeah, 12, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much.
Okay, if you can think of anything else, Henrik.
Well, I think it's...